All right.
So the episode opens. We get a voiceover man going, when lockers are left unpaid for in the Great White North, their contents go up for auction. Then the music kicks in, right? And then we get a close-up of this very unpleasant-looking gentleman, guy called Roy. And he looks like the type of guy that brags about his wife and friends, but we never see them, ever. He's the instigator. Then we have Paul and Bogart. He's a guy with a cowboy hat. Looks like he's lived a life. He looks like he's just come from Margaritaville with Jimmy Buffett. And his dopey kid. They're called the High Roller and the Kid. We then cut to a couple of cigarette-stained, weaselly, cigarette-stained weaselly couple. One of the gentlemen looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter's like skinny, like drug-addicted brother. This is Cindy and Rick. They're the veterans. And then we get a glamorous-looking lady in high heels strutting her stuff. She's Ursula. Don't tell her she can't because she can, and don't tell her she won't because she will. She's the knockout. Bow, 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 bow. Money owns this town. Whew. Storage Wars. Northern Treasures. It's a great show.
What are you doing?
I just thought we could maybe talk about something different this week.
No!
It's a great show.
Okay, it's a good show, but this is the Friends podcast. What are you doing?
I just don't, you know, people, we've been going for like 5 seasons. It's a little bit repetitive at this point. Let's shake things up. Much like Roy likes to do in auctions.
Oh my god, no one's going to care. People have turned us off already.
Nah, people love Storage Wars, mate. It's a great show.
No!
Yeah.
Okay, well, should I do the intro? What's happening?
So the episode opens with this sweet old man in his
pickup
truck.
No, we're not doing this.
We're going to Winnipeg.
Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Friends Till the End, your one-stop shop for all things Friends. Did you really, like, plan that out?
Yes.
Why?
Because people need to know about Storage Wars. It's a great show.
I suppose.
All right. Hi, welcome, Friends Till the End.
Hi,
everyone. Welcome to Friends Till the End, your one-stop shop for all things Friends, as we talk about the classic sitcom. I'm Michael, and I've seen Friends over 1,000 times.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I have never seen Friends.
But you have seen Storage Wars.
But I have seen certain Storage Wars,
dozens
yes.
of episodes of Storage Wars.
Like the one that's set in Canada, specifically, as he was just talking about for some reason. I don't know what's happening.
Well, we're going to try and like tie it all in, because it is a Friends podcast. Wouldn't it be great if the cast of Friends reunited and we're on like a Storage Wars style show?
What's happening?
Like, wouldn't it be great?
I guess, sure.
So like there's 6 people always, there's a couple of partners, and then there's always a couple of solo people. So who would you pair up out of the Central Perk gang to like be partners on Storage Wars? This is basically an Ask Elizabeth question.
I guess so, isn't it? I'd pair up Phoebe and Joey because I think they'd find like really eclectic and weird stuff that Joey probably is like, oh, this looks cool. This would be good in the apartment. But then it turns out to be something really, really expensive just because he thought it was like silly.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd find like those really cool antique-y stuff.
What would their nickname be?
The Offbeats.
The Offbeats?
Yeah.
What about Street Phoebe and Sandwich Boy?
Have you thought about this?
Oh, nothing but. Yeah, I've been planning this for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then who would your other pair be? See, I think you got to pair Monica with somebody because that would be conflicting. So I think you either have Rachel with Monica or you have Monica with Ross.
Well, no, I was actually thinking of having Monica be by herself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She'd be...
the hard ass.
Yeah, the hard ass. And then I'd put Ross and Chandler and Rachel all together.
No, you can't do a 3B.
Why not?
Because that's not how the show works.
Okay, fine. Then I would put Chandler and Ross together.
Okay.
And they would be the lads.
The lads. And then Rachel on her own.
She'd be...
the daddy's girl.
The daddy's girl, yeah.
She's like always on the phone. Like, well, there's no... You can only bid with the cash in your pocket. So,
right. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the episode.
I don't want to talk about today's episode because it made me all gross. So I've got a full itinerary of stuff, Friends related, so that we don't have to talk about today's episode.
We have to talk about it.
Season 5, episode 10, the one with the inappropriate sister.
We have to talk about it. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, we have to do Bamboozled first.
Of course we do.
Okay, so let's go to Bamboozled.
Okay, Bamboozled.
It's our Friends trivia game. where I ask Elizabeth 5 questions and give her a score at 5 based on how many she gets correct. And we invite you to play along at home and tweet us at FriendsPod with your results. A lot of people have been tweeting in because we've done a couple of episodes back to back where we didn't know the answers. So I got to give lots of shout outs to people.
All right.
So something fun that's been like popping up over the last couple of episodes is we're getting tweets from couples or people that play along with their significant other.
Ooh.
And like they compare their scores.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
Like they're almost competing against you. It's kind of fun. We got a tweet from Scott H at Scotty underscore 1985. His bamboozled score was 2 out of 5.
For which episode?
This was 2 episodes ago, which you scored 3 out of 5. So
oh-ho!
You bamboozled Scott.
Shame, Scott, shame.
But his significant other, Lindsay, at Lindsay H triple X, scored 4 out of 5. So she bamboozled you. It's a real chain of bamboozling going on.
Fair
there.
Fair enough. Female power.
Andy Fennick at the Andy Fennick got a 3 out of 5.
Okay, twins.
So technically, you bamboozled him.
Because a tie counts as a loss for the other players.
Yeah, because you've only seen these things once.
Yeah, suck it.
Yep, so Andy, big man, thank you for admitting your failings. In fact, Scott and Lindsay challenged us to a game of Friends Trivial Pursuit, which...
Oof.
You wouldn't really be able to play because it would end in...
Spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Andy also tweeted me his wife's score, and she ended up with a disappointing 0 out of 5. So
what?
You bamboozled Claire.
Wow, I'm shocked. Well, sorry, shame, shame, shame.
Julie Vaughn at Julie PV got 3 out of 4, she says.
3 out of 4.
Well, she is saying that the Phoebe running on the barge question was a stretch and said it was too obscure. So she isn't counting it as a
I
question,
love
I
that.
Get.
That's wonderful.
How dare you, Julie?
Shame, shame, shame.
But yes, yes, you guys did draw. So there we are. That was 2 episodes ago. Moving on to our more recent one, where you'll recall you got 1.5 out of 5.
Yes.
Scott only got 1 out of 5. He tweeted back in.
Shame.
So you bamboozled Scott even with 1 out of 5.
Is that a different Scott or
half.
The same
nope,
Scott?
Nope, same Scott.
All right. Sorry, buddy.
But his wife, Lindsay, got 5 out of 5. So
mm.
She absolutely wiped the floor with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So bad luck.
Shame on me, then. Shout out to Lindsay.
Greggles has been on. He bamboozled you on both episodes.
Ugh,
you got
whatever.
4 out of 5 and then 5 out of 5.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good job, Greggles.
And then Andy came back as well, and his missus got a 1 out of 5. So you bamboozled her.
Shame!
Oh, man. You're throwing out those shamings.
Well, I'm very proud of it. I assume that everyone will get 5 out of 5.
No others, but seeing as we're just calling out or giving mentions to people that are getting involved and getting in touch, we did get a message from Chuck Rodriguez, who is a little bit behind. He's on like season 3 of our episodes, and he watched the one without the ski trip. Classic episode, I'm sure you remember.
Of course I remember.
Would you like to just
no,
refresh
they,
us with your
know.
Highlights of what happened in
they
that episode?
They know, they remember.
Okay, so he said, here's some Laserdisc info. They were album-sized CDs that actually came out in the 1980s. Very expensive, and only serious video files had Laserdiscs. They were clunky and not as practical as DVDs would later be. You also had to flip the disc over to watch the full movie. They had high quality letterbox picture and sound and had extras like DVDs do and were basically ahead of their time.
I love all the information, but I'm not sure what he's referring to.
I am not entirely sure either. I think it was something to do with like, I think I probably incorrectly said that like Laserdisc and DVD were like competing for like brand domination and then like, I don't remember.
Well,
like,
good
no
for you, honestly. No, because we asked a lot of questions and hope that people would answer them. So if we can get more things answered, that'd be great.
Yeah, I appreciate
so keep
it.
Them up.
We are very, very unqualified to be like providing information during our ramblings. So yes, thank you very much. And one final thing before we move on to the questions.
Oh my goodness, this is really drawn out. Anyone else I can shame?
You're not going to want to shame this person. We have a new patron. Patron. Patreon. We have a new patron on Patreon.
Who is it?
It is the quite wonderful and quite wonderfully named Kimberly De La Montagna. who very, very kindly is made a contribution to the show over on Patreon.
Wow,
Patreon. That is
wonderful.
It's
thank
super
you.
Super nice. Thank you so, so much. And as you were one of our first 10 patrons, there's going to be a little thank you in the mail to you very shortly.
Thank you, Kimberly.
You're the best.
You rock.
All right, on to the questions. Are you ready?
I've been ready for like at least 12 minutes.
Okay, question one. Why did Monica hire Joey to work in her restaurant?
Because he needed money.
That wasn't her reason for hiring him. He did it because he needed money.
Because she needed waitstaff.
She didn't really.
I don't know.
She needed somebody to fire so that like everyone else would be scared of her. Yeah. Okay.
Crap.
Question number two. Who played Rachel's date to a play who yelled at everybody? Who was the actor that played Rachel's date that yelled at people?
I know this one.
Okay.
Ben Stiller.
It is Ben Stiller. Yeah! Congratulations.
Woo! And that was a name, too.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember an episode where Rachel and Joey were kind of swapping books and Joey put like a book in the freezer because it really scared him?
Ever so slightly.
Okay, can you name one of the two books that they were discussing? They're two very famous books. Rachel had a favorite book. Joey had a favorite book. They swapped them and they read them.
Okay. I think this is just the first name that popped into my head, and it might be very wrong, but I'm going to go Jane Eyre.
You're in the right. You're on the right track.
But I'm wrong.
Joey's book, which he put in the freezer, was The Shining, and Rachel's favorite book was Little Women.
Ah, man.
Bad luck.
Doing horribly. The usual.
Question four. What kind of doctor was Dr. Drake Ramore?
A surgeon.
Yeah, for what part of the body?
Oof. Brain.
Yeah!
Yes!
Okay. This one comes from season one. You're going to have to cast your mind back. They threw a surprise birthday party for Phoebe, but one of the friends gang didn't go. Which one?
I'm trying to remember even that.
Gunther was there because he goes to all the parties. You got a 1 in 5 chance of getting it right. Assuming that Phoebe went to her own surprise party.
Well, now that you say that, I feel like it's going to be Phoebe.
It's not. I wouldn't okay, say that. Right. I wouldn't mess with you like that.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just guess. Let me channel this. Rachel.
Unfortunately, it was Joey. If you'll recall, Joey was dating Ursula, so he was going out with Ursula instead of going to the party.
Oh, yeah.
So 2 out of 5, which is better than last week's score. So you might still bamboozle a couple of people.
Like Scott.
Maybe Scott.
And Claire.
Scott, you got this, mate. I know you can get this one. Yeah, 2 out of 5 at Friends Pod with your scores, please, if you want to be shouted out or shamed on the show. Elizabeth, are you going to light that Friends candle?
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry I forgot. Oh, yeah. That's a sweet smell of coffee.
For those of you who didn't listen to our last episode, Elizabeth on air surprised me with a Friends candle that smells of Central Perk. And it's a lovely, lovely gift. And in the spirit of giving, and in the spirit of generosity, wait there.
You have a gift for me? He's only doing this because he felt that he didn't think of this first and needs to show me up.
This is not for me.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm really excited about this.
It's wrapped in dinosaur wrapping paper, which makes it really awesome.
And it comes with a note. For those of you who don't know, this is like a huge, like...
It's really big. It's like 3 shoeboxes in one. Maybe more.
So it comes with a little note
if you want
to read it.
Okay, it says, "Dear Friends Till the End, here is a present from your friends till the end to help you with Friends Till the End. Because it's important to have friends till the end. The end. Love. Will and Maura, guests from Friends Till the End."
Yeah, Will and Maura, who have been on the show a couple of times, got us a gift. I don't know what it is. I really don't. So we're going to open this. It's an unboxing.
Oh my gosh. And which, dinosaur paper.
Now, you don't know about unboxing things, but like if you have a popular podcast and you get sponsored by Loot Crate, they'll send you a box, but then you have to like open it on air.
Ooh.
So it's kind of like that.
I'm so excited.
All right.
Ready?
So yeah, let's start from either end. I hope it's not a puppy.
Another box.
Oh my god. Oh, what a legend. That is amazing. Oh my god, I am so thrilled. I could not be happier.
What?
Elizabeth, they have sent us, and we'll take a picture, and we'll send it out on the Instagrams and all that stuff. It is a sound isolation booth for our microphone, which is awesome.
Wow.
Yay.
That is really, really nice.
What a thoughtful gift, and something that will hopefully benefit everyone. That's great.
Wow.
That is absolutely champion.
Thank you, Will and Maura. Friends till the end, for show.
Seems like a shame that we have to announce that this is actually the final episode of the podcast, but because I'm quitting to start my own Storage Wars podcast. It's called Storage Horrors. And
we're Can I be a part of that?
We'll maybe have you on after we've established ourselves.
All right. Wow.
That's really touching. That's so sweet.
It definitely beats.
Yeah, I kind of want to like set up. All right, we're going to hit pause, and then we're going to come back. And like, we're going to switch it out, and we're going to see, like, you'll be able to tell the difference, hopefully.
Whoa.
Hi, everyone. Michael here, recording from the future. I just wanted to drop in a quick note here before we get back into the episode. And yes, we are going to talk about the one with the inappropriate sister in just a moment, I promise. I did want to drop in a quick note, though, because in our excitement to set up our new gift, our new awesome sort of portable recording studio, that we kind of set it all up and got recording without really checking to see the levels or to make sure that we were in good position for it, or really understanding what the hell that we were doing. It's one of the issues that you have when you give professional equipment to a bunch of hopeless amateurs like Elizabeth and I. So the audio for the remainder of the episode is not going to be of the highest quality. It's going to kind of dip in and out. And I think it's going to be better for perhaps me for some of it than for Elizabeth. It's going to sound a little echoey at times. But it's just for this episode, we will play around with the technology so that we know what we're doing next time that we record. And hope that you enjoy the episode anyway. It's one that made me thoroughly uncomfortable. So hopefully you can enjoy that, if nothing else. All right, enjoy the episode. Cheers now.
And we're back. All right, I guess we'll just that's a good place to end it for this week. Thank you all very much for listening. We're not going to talk about today's episode.
We're talking about the episode, Michael. Here, you know what? I'll lead us in. Let me see your notes.
Well, I don't know the date that this show first aired.
This one made Michael very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
You as well.
Yes, but I don't think I am quite as distraught.
I did not care for it.
This is season 5, episode 10, The One with the Inappropriate Sister. First aired on December 17th,
what year? 1998.
To an audience of how many, Michael?
Ooh, well, last episode was 23 million. That was the one with Ross's sandwich.
That's right.
It's been going down pretty much all season. Like, they opened with 31 million, and they're down to 23 million. I think they're going to see a little bit of a bump. I'm going to go 23.2.
I'm going to go 29.8.
What the fuck? 29.8? You think they gained 6 million viewers?
Oh, shoot. No.
We've got to take your first answer.
Oh, my God.
No, that's fine. Go on. Change it.
Okay, so I have
22.8. 23.7. Yeah. You can just add another check mark to my score in the back of the book.
Yeah.
What's the score now?
It's 7-3, Michael. 7-3.
Yeah. Kicking ass and taking names.
So, we open.
Are you really going to do this the whole time?
Sure, why not?
You
going to
read my notes? All right, cool.
So, these are Michael's notes. I used to take notes. I don't anymore. I am just the watcher. All right. So, we open on Ross, who is reorganizing the refrigerator in the boys' apartment.
Yes.
He's extremely bored.
He is.
He is on sabbatical, and he has nothing to do. And so you see him kind of organizing. This shelf is fruits and vegetables, and there's like one apple. This shelf is all the expired stuff, and it's all like condiments and gross stuff. Like, we all have that in our refrigerator.
Speak for yourself.
You know, like, you have that stuff you just kind of forget about. You push to the back and it's really old and you just throw it away at some point. It's gross.
It's because you Americans, your fridges are too big.
Maybe. It could be that.
It was, whenever you come to my house in Scotland, you're like, oh God, your fridges are so small.
They are
quaint.
Small. They are small. It's kind of a culture shock when you see the fridges. And the milk cartons are so weird.
Well,
Unlike in America, our milk doesn't last for 2 weeks.
It doesn't last for 2 weeks.
It does. It's got like a 2 week sale by day.
No, it depends where you buy it. So Joey is there in the apartment and he's trying to help Ross chill out, relax a bit. You don't have a job right now. Why don't you just enjoy not having to work? So what does he do, Michael?
I don't know. I don't have my notes. I believe he sits him in the chair.
Yes. Those very comfy, lazy boys they have. Mm-hmm. He tries to show him, like, the life that Chandler and him lead, where, you know, you pull it up on the feet and then you sit back even more and it's super comfortable. Yeah. And then, you know, Ross is like, I've already done all this. I've been to the bank and the laundromat and been here and there. And Joey's like, I don't understand. That's like a whole week's worth of stuff. Clearly, they live very different lives.
Clearly.
So, then Joey's like, okay, watch this. This is how you make use of a day. He calls Chandler at work.
He does.
And he puts on this very hackish voice.
Professional actor, Joey Tribbiani, master of disguise, basically just goes, hello, hi. And Chandler is like, who is this? I don't understand. You've been calling me for 6 months. And he's like, but I love you. And Chandler like freaks out. He's like, leave me alone. And you're just like, wow. Come on, Chandler. Need to figure this out. Star 69, that was a thing, right?
Caller ID isn't a thing yet.
Star 69, though. Right? Is that a thing?
In 1998?
Yeah, it must have been.
Probably,
that was
yeah.
Was the era of landlines.
Probably. So then they call and it's funny and they freak out Chandler and then Joey's like, and there's our Wednesday for you.
If I may, it's very funny.
What did I say?
You said it was funny.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was very funny.
It was very, very funny.
And then, cue the Rembrandts. I'm trying to say things like you say them.
You don't have to. You can put your own stank on it.
And then the theme song opens.
The theme song opens.
And it starts.
The show. Four claps, just like normal.
Alright, that's way too long. I don't like doing it. I like just making, like, side comments.
Alright, we're trying to play through this shit, because right. This is going on a while.
So when you start to feel uncomfortable, hand it back to me and I'll take over.
Alright. Phoebe has a bell.
A big bell.
A big bell. And she's like, I'm gonna be asking for donations outside apartment stores. Don't think, like, she has a town crier bell.
Yes, huge.
She's like, hear ye. Don't they usually just give you, like, a little, like,
ding? Yes. Yeah, a little tiny one.
Okay. She is going to be spreading some joy. That's like, I'm going to collect donations, but mainly I'm going to spread some Christmas joy.
Yes.
Good for her.
Kind of like, you know, you see that around the Salvation Army. Typically does it outside, like grocery stores and different places.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then you feel bad if you don't give money.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Yep.
Isn't it like they, if you don't, if they like ring the bell and yell shame at you? Shame,
no, that's
shame.
What I would do.
Danny arrives in Central Perk and he's like saying hello. He's like glad-handing everyone. He's basically going around like shaking hands. Hey, hey, how's it going? How's it going?
He's like the mayor.
He's like in the background and Rachel's just like, ugh, he's still being so aloof. He's pretending he doesn't like me. He's still playing games. Rachel is picking up that thread. Were you happy to see Danny?
Yeah, I love Danny.
Oh, he's your boyfriend, Danny.
He sounds like my brothers.
Well, Rachel's still playing it cool. She's like, ah, we're going to figure this out. This is like a chess match. And then Danny comes over and, like, she pretends she doesn't remember who he is. And Monica's just like, fuck this. And she's like, Danny, do you want to go out on a date with Rachel? And he's like, yes. So there we go. They got a little date lined up for Friday night.
Yep.
Good for them. We are in Estelle's office. Estelle's back.
Yay,
we love
Estelle.
She's great.
She is great.
She's got no work for Joey, though.
She's a train wreck.
No work for Joey.
Yep.
Joey's like, is there nothing? And she's like, you're just going to say no again, but gay porn. And
he'd make a lot of money doing that. If you go gay for pay. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, he's not interested in doing gay porn. Even though he would make a lot of money, but he wants to be a serious actor. He's established this before. He wants to be taken seriously. Phoebe's out on the streets. She's spreading joy. She's guilting Monica into giving all of her money. And then another guy puts in a donation. He puts in a note. And then he goes in and starts picking out, like, change.
Yeah.
And Phoebe's like, you can't do that. And the guy's just like, well, I just need change for the bus. I'm like, Phoebe makes a big deal of it. Is it that bad? Like, you can choose how much you want to donate.
Well, what I would say is, I'm going to donate this, but I do need some change back. And I think they'd probably be like, well, why don't you just keep it, to be honest. I think it'd be weird if they see someone rifling through.
No.
Or if you ask the person, they could go and get it. But just, like, going and taking it upon yourself to take it out looks like you're trying to steal more.
But you just put money in.
I know, but you don't know how much. It could have been, like, a receipt.
It wasn't. It was very clearly a note.
I don't know. I don't think that's right. And I noticed that it was just kind of like an open bucket, whereas the ones they have today are, you know, a small little slot that you put your dollar, couple
oh, really?
Change in. Yeah,
no,
so people know.
They've what?
Walk by and just take a handful.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they did that.
Like in Home Alone 2, when he wraps his hand up with tape and he sticks it into them. Mm-hmm.
It's sticky bandit proof.
Right.
So Phoebe tries to, like, politely ask the guy not to do that, and he's just like, back off, Blondie, even though she is wearing a Santa hat, which is completely covering her hair.
Yeah, you have no idea what color her hair is.
Could you tell, like,
I mean,
could you tell that she was a Blondie?
Maybe, but
it's impossible for us to answer accurately, because, like, we just will forever see her as a Blondie.
Yeah.
But can you tell somebody's hair color?
Usually their
eyebrows. Yeah.
Did I teach you that?
No, but, well, it just makes sense. That your eyebrows would match your hair color.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. But still, it's funny that he latched onto that when he couldn't actually see her hair.
Right.
Joey's upset because he hasn't got any work. Gets a pep talk from Ross. Ross is like, hey, you should write a movie. And Joey's like, I don't have any discipline for that. And he's like, well, I'll make a schedule and make sure you stick to it.
Yeah, he's bored. He obviously needs a project.
Why doesn't he help him write it? Like, it could be quite good if, like, they collaborated.
Because Joey said he wanted to write it.
Yeah, but Joey...
Hey, who knows?
Joey ain't gonna write a fucking movie.
You never know.
Alright, well, we'll see, I guess. Rachel returns to her apartment to talk to Monica. She says she just saw Danny getting on the subway with his arm around another woman. Monica's like, oh, that sucks, but you should just go for it anyway. You'll have such a good date that you'll forget all about that subway girl. So that's the plan.
I don't think it's that unusual for people to date multiple people at the same time, too.
I think that's disgraceful. So she's like, yeah, I'm going to go do it. And then, like, she goes into her room all determined. And then, like, you see Monica, like, rush Chandler out of the apartment. Because they've been canoodling again. So that's just a fun little bit to be like, oh, they're still sneaking around.
Yeah.
Joey is trying to work in his apartment. Chandler is messing around, trying to flip balls into bowls. Using, like, a makeshift, like, catapult,
yeah.
Basically. And he ends up distracting Joey. He's just like, ah, you don't need to write right now. Come play with me. And they go and play, and they're going to set balls on fire.
Is that something that you would do as a, like, late 20-something?
This was, you know, pre-internet days. You had to do something to fill the time. What the fuck else are you going to... There's, like, 3 TV channels. You got books and newspapers.
There are way more than 3 TV channels in the late 90s.
Yeah.
I used to watch TV. In
the
late
90s. Oh, show off. I used to watch TV in the late 90s.
Like Friends
Whoa.
Was on.
And yet you never watched it.
No, I didn't.
Did you ever
Hence this podcast.
Did you ever watch Spin City?
No.
Man, I was thinking about that show today. That's a show that doesn't get like a lot of... Doesn't get a lot of conversation. I thought it was pretty good.
Now that you've plugged it, everyone's going to go and Google that.
I wonder if it holds up.
Michael
well,
J.
We Fox.
We can save that for our next one.
He's playing the wisecracking... Deputy Mayor of New York City.
Alright, move along.
She's giving me the my wrap it up hand gesture. How dare you? Phoebe is having a tough time. She's still trying to spread joy, but people are putting trash in her bucket, and then somebody puts her cigarette in it and it catches on fire.
Yeah, it's gonna burn all the dollars.
Yeah, pretty inconsiderate, but that's typical New Yorkers for you. And then, like, she grabs a cup off of somebody passing by and, like, I need this. And she splashes water into it, but it only makes the flames go up more. And she smells it, and she's like, it's 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, because it wasn't, like, a coffee cup, so you assumed it was coffee. And
probably just one of those slick Wall Street guys having a bit of a hair of the dog to go in and crush it. He's been out late last night, and now he just needs to...
He looked like he was in his 70s.
Well, you know, he's been in the game for a while. Ross is reading over Joey's work. He's written 2 sentences, and then the rest of it is just the rules for Fireball. He is not impressed.
No.
And Chandler's just like, yeah, you know, he's just having a bit of fun. He's trying to, you know, relax, and then his stuff will come naturally. So they're kind of going at it a little bit. Rachel goes on her date with Danny. ends up on their doorstep, ends with a nice little kiss. Well, not a nice little kiss, a gross little kiss. Were you mad at this? Seeing your boyfriend locking lips with Rachel?
No, I don't care, Michael. Is that what you wanted me to say, or did you want me to be upset? Because I can be upset.
I want you to feel your feelings. I don't want you to bottle them in. And you saw
Brian. Awful.
Brian McKenzie.
Why doesn't he love me?
Steve Martin's waiting around the corner being like, go, Brian!
Are you saying my granddaughter's name could be Sophie Zankman?
It's a brother of the bride thing?
Yep.
What? Welcome to the 90s, Mr. Bunks.
It's actually Bob and Brad Part 2.
Okay, well, I don't know these things. He's like, I'd invite you in, but my sister's visiting, and I think she's sleeping on the couch. And she's like, oh, it was your sister. Oh, great, great, great. And then the sister opens the door, and she's like, oh, I thought I heard voices. And so...
she's wearing...
what looks like his shirt.
What looks like a man's button-down shirt, oversized, mm-hmm. and little tiny shorts that you can't quite see.
Yeah.
Almost looks like she just, like, slept with someone.
Mm.
Or like the typical
sitcom. She was sleeping on the couch.
No, I know. But it doesn't look like she's wearing her own pajamas. It looks like she's wearing his clothes.
And so, like, they go in and they're like, oh, hey, yeah. And then they, like, I don't know.
Okay, do you want me to take over on this?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where it becomes really uncomfortable.
Guys, I'm going to go for a cigarette break. Elizabeth will take it from here.
Okay, so they... what I would describe as... all right. They're kind of like, oh, no, you're so funny. No, you're so funny. And they start, like, touch. It's very flirtatious, mm-hmm. but it's probably more playful in their eyes. But they're like, no, you. And they start tickling each other. And then he, like, runs after her. And she jumps on the couch. He jumps on top of her. And he has, like, his hands around her waist. And they're, like, tickling each other and kind of wrestling. And Rachel's just standing there like, what? Like, so uncomfortable. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And... it was very strange. At first I thought that maybe he was lying and this girl was in on it, that it wasn't his sister.
Mm.
And so he's like, just pretend to be my sister, or like, just please just run with it.
So then, I can, but why would she do that? It's like, I want to fuck this girl too, so could you just pretend to be my sister?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it would be. But it was gross. And Rachel just kind of left after that.
Yeah. Not great.
I'll have you continue until the next really awkward encounter.
Phoebe complains that people are just, like, not respecting the donation bin. And she's upset about it. So she's going to toughen up. We're going to see the return of Street Phoebe.
Yeah.
Which is her tough persona from when she used to live on the streets.
Yep.
Here's my question. Who would win in a fight? Street Phoebe or Red Ross?
That's a really good one. I think probably Street Phoebe, because she has more smarts. He's like irrationally angry, whereas she would kind of have some like strategy behind it.
Yeah. Rachel is confused about what she just witnessed, so she goes to the only other creepily close brother and sister duo that she knows. She goes to Ross and Rachel.
Nope.
She goes to Ross and Monica.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you guys like wrestle? And they're like, oh, we used to do it all the time. But, like, we don't do it anymore. That's weird. She's like, I don't... she's, like, trying to convince herself that it's, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't even, like, wrestling. It was a creepy, like, tickle fight.
It was, like, a tickle fight.
If she described it as a tickle fight, like, that's... it's not okay.
Yeah, and so Ross and Monica kind of get into, like, a... well, I'm a lot stronger than you now anyway. And she's like, oh, you want to go right now? And they get into this stance that looks... like actual wrestling.
It's a pretty legit collar and elbow tie-up.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's wrestling. It's not just like.
Mm-hmm. The match had good psychology. Ross sold well. I'd give it a good solid 4 stars.
All right, 4 stars out of Michael.
Yep. Ross is running Joey ragged. Chandler just wants to play. Like, this isn't really established as a thing. Like, where Chandler and Joey just kind of goof off and have fun all like. It's not really something we see them do all that much.
Well, I mean, we see them watch Baywatch together.
Yeah.
And kind of, they own a chick and a duck. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think they play a lot more than other people.
Yeah, I guess. They had that party and they had volleyball set up in a bedroom and stuff. Yeah. All right, okay. Withdrawn. Overruled, counselor. Chandler's upset because he just wants to play with his buddy. And, like, They're going to be going to a Knicks game, I believe, or perhaps a hockey game, a hockey tournament matchup contest. And, like, Joey can't go because he hasn't got all his work done. And Chandler's like, just let him go. And, like, him and Ross argue. And Ross then just, like, tears up the tickets and is like, no, nobody gets to go.
He is awful.
You're just like, motherfucker.
Like, get out of here. He's the worst.
Yeah. Okay, handing it back to you now.
All right. Yep. And
back to Danny me. And his sister are hanging out with the gang in Central Park.
So they are in Central Park. The gang. Danny and his sister are sitting on the couch next to Monica. Nope, next to Rachel. And, oh God, this is so, I forgot about this. This is gross. They're sitting next to each other, and she has what looks like maybe a Boston cream pie, sort of like a, it's a kind of like a cakey chocolate with like a vanilla cream filling sort of dish, and it can be kind of goopy. So, they're talking, whatever, and then Danny's sister is like, oh my God, this is really good, why don't you try it? And instead of grabbing a fork, she takes her two fingers, dips it in, and then gives it, puts it in his mouth, and he, like, sucks on her fingers, and then she keeps going and does it multiple times. So it's, like, multiple bites without him saying, oh, that is good, or yeah, can I have more? She just automatically assumes and keeps putting it into his mouth, and the whole gang are like, oh, my God. Like, everyone's freaking out. They realize that this is weird. But then she drops a little on his pants, right on his crotch, and she's like, oh, well, let me get it, and she takes a napkin and goes, like, deep in there. Like, She's right on the ball. She's definitely
there's cupage.
Absolute cupage. And then she licks the napkin and it goes in again, and everyone's shocked. And then she's like, "Oh my goodness, you know what? We better get out of here before and take your pants off upstairs before
get
this.
You out of those pants.
Yeah, before this becomes a stain." He's like, "Yeah, good idea, good idea."
And off they go.
And everyone's horrified and very creeped out.
Yeah. And there's a really funny bit where they're just like, wow, that was a bit much. And it's just like, I can't believe the brother and sister enjoy. He's like, they were brother and sister.
Right, yeah. He's like, oh, sorry, Rachel, it's not working out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so gross. I mean, they do a good job of it because that's obviously the point.
I was on Twitter earlier in the week and I was saying I was looking forward to reviewing this episode, even though I couldn't. Like, just based on the title, I was like, they didn't want to be the inappropriate sister. I can't really remember that one. And a lot of people tweeted me and were like, oh, shit, you don't remember this episode.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, God. I think I must have just tried to, like, forget it.
Yeah.
It's awkward. We then get a taste of Street Phoebe handing out street justice, including hassling an old lady.
Yeah, I mean, you see it pans to her with her bucket of money, the donation bucket, and there's all these signs, like, I am not a urinal. I don't know any Macy's information. This is not a trash can. Respect my space. All this stuff.
And yeah, so she's just, like, being a hard ass, basically, and then she's approached by a man who we can only assume was the person that, like, set her up in that spot. He's like, Phoebe, we've had some complaints. We're gonna move you on. And Phoebe's just like, aw, man. And they have, like, a replacement woman. And then the old lady walks past, and just as Phoebe's going, it's like, I'll give you a piece of advice. Just look out for that bitch. It's pretty funny.
It's funny. Are you handing it back to me again?
No, I think I can wrap it up.
All
right. Rachel goes around to Brian McKenzie's apartment.
Danny.
To break it off with him, basically. She's like, I think we're going to, like, let's call it a day. She's like, you just seem very close with your sister. And he's like, oh, man, like, this seems to be a recurring problem that he's running into. She's like, I just love my family. It's not that big a deal. And it's like, it's almost like he's kind of, like, convinced her. He's like, you know, I'm just really close with my sister. It's just, you know, we get on great. And Rachel's just sort of like, okay. And then, just when you think he's convinced her, like, sister pokes her head around the door and is like, it's bath time, Danny. Is she running bath for him, or are they going to bathe together?
I assumed in my mind, I think, to protect myself, that she just started a bath for him.
Mm-hmm. She is fully clothed. It's not like she's, like, in a dressing gown.
Yeah, or like a towel or anything.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And Rachel's just like, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the last we shall see of old Danny Brian McKenzie. How do you feel? Like, the man that you went on record just a few episodes ago as being, like, your favorite character.
He was.
Did they ruin him for you?
Well, they ruined him for me in the fact that they're taking him out now.
But, like, he's a creep.
Every family's different, Michael.
Loves his sister, but not in a creepy way.
No one's gonna get that reference. Cut that shit.
People know. They know.
Cut it.
Look, I'm leaving the Storage Wars stuff in. I'm leaving.
You're
crazy
leaving
answer.
That in?
All of it. Every bit. Longest episode ever. And then we get, like, kind of a wrap-up. Chandler and Ross are still arguing. Joey comes in, and he's like, oh, I wrote my pages today. Do you guys want to read it? And, like, they launch into, like, reading the scene that he wrote, but it's just, like, an apology, basically. And it's like, I'm sorry, we had our friend's interests at heart, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, after reading that, they do just, like, both properly apologize to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. Everybody is still friends. Were you worried that they were going to stop being friends at the end of this
episode?
No. Well, I saw you were worried. Everything's fine. They're back to being friends. They stopped being friends very briefly, but they're friends again.
Thank God.
And the episode ends with Monica and Rachel reading another scene that Joey has written. Because we've already had one. Every now and again, Friends goes a little bit porn-y.
Yes.
And like we had earlier, like, oh, I've got cream on my pants. You're going to have to come upstairs and take them off. And yeah, his scene just kind of...
It's kind of like, yeah, all right, Monica, you start. And she's like, hi. And Rachel's like, hi. And Monica goes, wow, I really like your perfume. Oh, thanks. It's new. Why don't you come closer where you can smell it better?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just like kind of skim through and they're like, no, we're not doing this. Yeah. You're a creep. Yeah, and he's like, oh, but I was just about to enter. So you can imagine it's like some sort of porny threesome thing.
That Joey. I mean, it was only a week ago that he was like being accused of being like a sex pervert with filming women on the first date.
Right.
You know, maybe lay low for a week or two. Try and shake off that reputation.
Take a step back.
Yeah, maybe sit this round out. But yep, and that ends the episode. And that was the one with the inappropriate sister.
You know, we got through the episode quick and it seemed like all the extras took up another episode lengthwise.
It's been good though. Like people getting in touch, it's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're looking for. We got present. We learned a little something about Storage Wars, Northern Treasures. What's not to like?
I loved it.
Did you like the episode that we just watched?
It was fine.
All like joking aside, we have fun on this show, I suppose. But all joking aside, like the show did make me cringe a lot, which was 100% its intention.
Yeah.
So, like, it was well written. It was well done. Like, they delivered. It was, that was one inappropriate sister. So, well done.
Well done.
The last couple of episodes, you've taken to rating episodes out of 10. Would you like to throw a rating this way? Or maybe out of 9, if you don't want to count it fully, like Julie on Twitter, the Bamboozled.
Like a 4 or 5.
4 or 5. Oh, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
That's not very good at all.
That's fine.
No, I quite liked it. Well.
I'm surprised. I rate them lower when I start to get antsy towards the end of the episode.
Mm.
When I start to get antsy and I'm like, I'm all done. And if it's only a 20-22 minute episode and I'm already getting antsy, that's kind of a bad sign for me.
Mm. Well, we're coming up on the halfway part of this season already. And I suppose like the only like underlying thing that we have that's going from episode to episode is this Chandler and Monica relationship, which they're still keeping secret, only Joey knows about. Do you think we're going to see any revelations in the next couple of episodes?
Yeah, I think they'll probably have to tell at some point. Yeah. It'll get out, or someone will see, or, you know, something.
Do you care to stick your neck out a little bit further than you have, and when we might see that? Like, in an episode? How long, like, is it going to be a season finale where everyone finds out, or...?
I don't think it'll be in the next couple episodes, but in this season, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we will just have to wait and see.
Yes, we will.
Well, the next episode is called The One With All The Resolutions. It's a Christmas time, you know, it's December 17th, so I think we're probably going to get one of a New Year's feel to this one.
All right.
We're actually jumping forward a few weeks. This is going to be the first episode in the year 1999.
Woo!
We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, we have.
All right, well, we'll look out for that one. Thank you all very much for listening. This has been Storage Wars, the new Storage Wars themed podcast. Please tune in when that is finally released.
You know what? I bet there's a porn called Storage Wars.
Of course there is.
I kind
of
want to find out.
Well... If only there was a way of searching for porn, but I can't think of any.
I don't know.
No. Thank you all very much for listening. It's been Friends to the End Podcast, Michael and Elizabeth. You can join in the fun and games with Bamboozling or just stop by and say hello on Twitter @FriendsPod. You can also check us out on Instagram Friends Till the End Pod is where you can find us on there. We post our show notes and other fun things. If you want to support the show, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. The biggest way of doing that is going over to patreon.com and searching for the Friends Till the End Podcast and swinging a couple of bucks our way.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Yes, thank you, Kimberly. Thank you so much. There's a list of things that you get as a thank you for contributing, and our first 10 patrons will also receive a special bonus gift not listed on the website. So yeah, you can check us out there. You can also support us by heading over to iTunes or wherever you get podcasts and leaving us a friendly rating and review. And of course, word of mouth, telling a friend is a great way of getting the word out. Well, that'll do it for this week. We'll see you next time for the one with all the resolutions. I have a resolution I want to make right now.
Go for it.
The next episode is going to contain even more conversations about Star Wars.
Oh, no.
Right here.